Following is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, joining us, we have Jason and Cassie Bennett. Jason and Cassie have a rescue farm for animals in Cynthiana, and that is just the tip of the iceberg of what this dynamic couple does. All right, Tom, what you got to say?
So I got to talk about all the rest of the stuff they do?
No, we'll let them do that, but you just tee them up.
First of all, thanks for being on the show today. And I want to talk about, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they do that that's interesting. And I'm going to tell you about one thing that they do that I ran into them when they were doing it. They have a bus that is very creatively painted.
It's a vinyl wrap.
Well, it whatever it is, correct. It's very artistic. And they took this bus out west and preached and ministered to people throughout the West. I know you went to Las Vegas and and other places probably also. But they had that bus. They live in Cynthiana, but they had the bus back here in Lexington in the parking lot at a shopping area. And we were having dinner in the restaurant right next to it, and we came out and we were just drawn to go over there and look at that bus. And then they were in there, and we started talking to them, and I just said, man, these are our kind of people. They really truly are. And
and as I saw you peering in through the windows.
Yeah, I was trying to see what was inside.
I'm starting to wonder, soccer.
Yeah.
I know where he got the name Tom from.
Yeah.
Peeping.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm not embarrassed at all. But I was looking in the window and seeing what they came out and they talked about what all they were doing. And would you guys talk a little bit about that thing that you did and getting the van and going where you went?
Absolutely. You going for it, honey? You want me
to go ahead? Start it off.
So God's actually put this on my heart for years, that I just wanted to travel and do street preaching. And while COVID was going on, he made it really strong on my heart and let me know that now's the time. And I thought, I must be hearing wrong, because I don't think you want me to travel the country right now. And he did. So we got actually two RVs. We had the one that you seen, and then we got a small one that our kids rode in. And then we wrapped a trailer, and we put a single-person hot tub in it so we could baptize people out on the streets. And we traveled. We took thousands and thousands of handmade crosses from Jerusalem. And we would just go wherever the Lord led us, and we would start passing out crosses in an open conversation. And wherever we were at, whatever campground, we would say, hey, we're going to have just open study and Bible study or talk, discussion every night at our campsite. Wow. So people could come, and the stories, the way that people got set free. There was one guy that we kind of got into a routine. We were in, where were we at, honey? Tucson, Arizona. And he was setting up, and I took my crosses and started passing them out at the campground. And I, you know, you get a lot of rejection. I think that's what God did not let
me
know.
Yeah, but you're in sales, so you've had that before.
I tell you, this was, yeah, but I'm passionate. You know, yeah. I love my real estate, but this is eternal and this is your soul.
Right.
So I'm passionate about, I want people to know Jesus.
Yeah.
So being rejected in that, I don't know that I was completely ready for that kind of, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that just, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So I kind of got used to that a little bit, I guess. I gave this guy one and I turned around to walk away. He kind of threw it down on the table and I knew, you know, what that meant. I said, have a good day. And the Lord put on my heart, turn around and ask him why he just did that. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I did. I turned around and I said, if you don't mind, can I ask you why you just threw that down? And he said, do you really want to know? And I said, I do. And he said, then have a seat. I sat down at his picnic table at his camper. We talked for almost 3 hours.
Oh my gosh.
He was an atheist. His wife came home bawling, saying for 2 years we've been trying to get him to open up and talk to someone. He was the first person to our camper that night for Bible study, and he was the last one to leave. And the next morning we woke up, we had already paid for a week there, and the Lord let me know that I'm ready to go on. So I was there to plant a seed, and that's what we did. And the next
did he come to the Lord, or did he just talk to you?
It was a long discussion, and he. No, to me, he did not ask me if I would lead him to the Lord, but I truly believe that heart was changed. There was tears. There was a lot of just, you know, he shared his story, and the problem that we heard across the entire country as we did this for the Lord, it was a lot of religion and a lot of hurt that was keeping people from Jesus.
So experiences they had had in church.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
A lot of them in the Catholic
over
Church.
Over and over. It was across the board, honestly,
really?
Tom. I heard so many stories of religion, and it would always start. When we would start our camp meetings, people would start talking about why they're not where they, you know, used to be, or why they chose not to. And almost every single story had religion, or they were hurt by a human. And so my thing was, that's not Jesus. I'm not here for religion. I'm here for relationship. And I want to tell you about my Savior, because it's a personal walk and I talk to him daily and he talks to me. And I wasn't taught that growing up. I didn't know. And I was in church. If the doors were open, we were there. I grew up Church of Christ, but I personally did not realize that I could hear from Jesus.
You know, it's interesting because we had a woman on the show last week named Wanda Alger. And she said that she was affected very much by spirit. She called it a religious spirit growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was, she felt like it was actually in government, that it was like the Pharisees, you know. This is interesting that you're saying that people were affected by that, because it seems like, in some ways, a lot of people in this whole country have been affected by religion in a negative way.
Absolutely.
It's where man took the oracles of God that were pure and perfect and tried to organize it into a system.
That's exactly
right. And if you don't obey the system, you're in trouble. And it's a religious spirit. And then it becomes legalism. I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in.
No, you're fine.
But it's just, I'm just making that point.
It's exactly right.
Based on what I've heard.
Absolutely. And you know, you got to think about it. These big mega churches and any church, they have electric bills. They have water bills. They have bills that have to be paid. So it begins to be ran like
a
business.
They have debt sometimes.
So when it's ran like a business, In my opinion, sometimes the spirit doesn't get to take control.
That's right.
The way that it's supposed to be. Think about the most famous sermon in the entire history was on the side of a hill. Jesus's sermons was on the side of a hill.
Sermon on the Mount.
That's right. So we don't need these big mega churches. We were having church out there on those streets. We led people to the Lord. We baptized people. We had in Las Vegas, we had amazing stories. We had a prostitute that she came and asked me for prayer, and she literally just bawled and bawled and bawled. And you know the story in the Bible where the guy with leprosy, he knew he wasn't supposed to be touched. He knew that, you know,
it was illegal to
That's
touch
right.
him. So it was, they could have gotten in legal trouble by
touching
right.
him. So this woman, it reminded me of that story when I was talking to her and praying with her. She stopped after we were done. Tears are rolling down her eyes. And she looked at me and said, "Can I shake your hand?" And I mean, it made me cry. And I said, "No, but I tell you what, you can hug me." And when I hugged her, she just didn't want to let go.
Yeah.
These people are starving for love out there. And that's what we found out from the streets, that they just need to know Jesus.
Yes. Right.
And even, you know, back to the rig or whatever, just pulling up, it's like a big toy, you know, you see Jesus on there.
Yeah.
And it's 13 foot, 6 inches tall. So just the truck stops, people rolling down the road and just.
Yeah, there's nothing like it on the roads.
No.
Not anywhere near like it. By the way, if you don't mind me asking, who did that for you?
People out of Cincinnati.
National Rap.
Okay.
And they did an amazing job. I have to give them a plug on this. I called them because the Lord put it on my heart. And you
who
know,
designed the artwork?
I did. And God, no. I can't take that credit, Tom. I take that back. God gave me a dream with it. And he showed me in the dream how to do it. And in fact, when I called National Rap, I said, "I need two RVs and a trailer done in 2 weeks." And he said, "You're absolutely crazy." And I said, "Well, I'm going to keep calling. Somebody in this country is going to do it." And I said, "God's put this on my heart to do. He's opened up my calendar and we're going out in 2 weeks. So somebody's going to get this job and it's a big job." So he called me back and he said, "Can you have it here tomorrow?" And I said, "We'll have it there whenever you say."
Did you already have the vehicles bought?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So we had the vehicles. We took them up there. 2 weeks for a job like that is unheard of. They flew people in from Las Vegas to help them wrap this in that time period.
Really?
They were amazing. But he called me, the guy that did the artwork. I designed it on a piece of paper. I'm not an artist. And I gave it to him. He called me and he said, "We have one problem with the picture of Jesus that you want on your bus." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "We're having trouble getting that. You know, I wanted a copyright. I wanted a letter, an email. I wanted this woman to know that I'm using this bus and I wanted to give her full credit." Well, he said, "We're having trouble getting that." And I said, "Then the whole thing's off." And he said, "What?" He said, "I can use any other picture." And I said, "God told me to use that picture. I don't know why."
Was it a copyright problem?
No, we ended up getting past it, but it was just, it was pixelated. And he said, he had all kind of reasons why. Beyond my, he gave me like three different reasons. And he said, "I'm having trouble getting through all this." And that was the enemy, in my opinion, trying to stop it, because I know that was the picture I'm supposed to use. Well, I have to tell you, that picture,
it's unbelievable.
And I'll never know. Jason and I will never know how many lives was touched just rolling down the road.
That picture.
Because we've gotten, and I'm not exaggerating on this, hundreds of messages of people. I had to pull over. I had to write you on our Facebook Messenger, page. I was asking God for a sign, and I look up and see that. Or another one just wrote last week. We took it out last week, and it was here in Lexington. And this woman said, "I pulled off on the exit to ride. I'm driving home from Texas. I had one of the worst weeks in my entire life, and I've fallen away from my relationship with Jesus. And I was crying as hard as I could cry and asking him if he's even here. And I look up and see that." And I mean, if that doesn't move you, like, I don't know what will,
Yeah.
And, I was just like, God is just so good. This is just him. We're just being his hands and feet. It's him reaching out to the people saying, "I'm here and I love you."
All right, Cassie, I need you to talk about what got you to Lexington and what you were doing and just where you were in your life at that time.
Okay.
You mind if I talk to her?
No, not at all.
you're next, though.
Take up. No, I'm good.
You're not a potted plant,
So I had sold real estate for 12 years for my father's company. I started the week I turned 18 in Hillsboro, Ohio, where I'm from. And I grew up in a family where, we're a very close family. We live a couple miles from each other. We all go to church. We all have Sunday dinner together. We all work for Dad's company. It was very, very close. And I thought everything was set. Like, I knew what my life was going to be. The year that God put this move on my heart, I was nominated as Businesswoman of the Year in my hometown. I had billboards all over town. Literally, I had just said to someone, "Things have gotten pretty easy." And I had just bought a nice home on the side of town. I was a single mom. I'd went through a divorce. I had a 4 and 6 year old that I didn't, honestly, I didn't know that I didn't plan on going through a divorce. I don't think anyone ever does. So it was kind of a dark place in my life. As a Christian, I would say it was a backslidden place in my life. But God really just used that and put on my heart. He started talking to me. I didn't know I could hear from the Lord. And I moved next to this house that had this woman that she had such supernatural. She just had this love that she gave to everyone that came in contact with her. And I didn't know what it was about it, but I wanted what she had. So one day she asked me to go to church with her. I was in this backslidden state. I went, and it was not a church that I was used to going to. And everybody was laying hands and praying for me. Like, yeah. I told you earlier, I grew up Church of Christ, and I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But I didn't know the Spirit moved that way. I was never taught that. But I went back to my house, and honestly, it was like this righteousness kind of that kind of came up in me. And I wanted to prove her wrong. So months had went by. It had been months. And I went knocking on her door. And I said, Alberta, here's the deal. We read from the same Bible. And I've grown up in church my whole life. So how is it that we read from the same Bible and we get two different things so drastically different? And her answer changed my life. She said, don't ever ask a human that question and trust a human for that answer. She said, let's get in the Word together and we'll figure it out. And I became so hungry. If I miss that, what else did I miss?
Right.
And so God used that. And now looking back, He was strengthening me for this move. He laid it on my heart and He said, I'm moving you out of here. People would come up to me I didn't even know and say, you know, I feel like the Lord's got a word for you. He's moving you out of. I'm like, I don't want to move. I don't want to move. Everything was honestly easy. And I was just going to, you know, eventually keep my father's company going. And I moved here and everything fell apart. He put on my heart Lexington, Kentucky. I didn't know one person in the entire state of Kentucky. It was me as a single mom with a 4 and 6 year old. I thought, what am I doing? My whole family had thought I lost my mind.
So you basically just moved here, sight unseen.
Totally
didn't
unseen.
Know anybody.
Not one person.
And you just came because you felt the Lord was calling you to come here.
That's right.
Okay.
It was a total faith move. And honestly, since we're talking about it, I thought like everything was going to be super simple because I did what God told me to do. And it was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
All hell broke loose.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I explained that first year, like just trying to stand up in a boxing match. I wasn't trying to fight back. I was just trying to stand. I cried every single day. I wanted to go home. My family's like, what is going on with you? Why are you there? And I didn't even know. But I refused to give up. And I can tell you the place where the doors busted wide open, and it was a faith move. And I always tell like my team and people that work for my team, you don't know how close you are to busting your door wide open when you give up.
Right.
If God puts something on your heart, until it busts open or until He shows you something different, don't you dare give up.
Right.
And I was on Tate's Creek where the old Chevron was. I was out of gas. I was out of money. I had to ask my dad for $100. And I hung up that phone and I said out loud, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm not leaving until you show me. And that same year, I became, at the time, the real estate company's top agent for their top team, or their top company, that same year.
Wow. That you were working for the old Rector Hayden at that
time? I was working for Rector Hayden at that time, and I became their top agent that year.
Yeah.
And and it was amazing. And, you know, since then, he's showed me, I mean, when I left there, I thought, well, gosh, God, you know, I'm doing this because you're putting it on my heart and I'm supposed to do it, but I know I'll never be able to sell what I'm selling here. And I don't know what I'd do if I sold. I mean, like, we closed almost $70 million this year in the middle of a pandemic. And when I left there in Hillsborough,
you're
it was a
not
little
with
town.
Rector Hayden
anymore. No, no,
you're,
no.
You got your own.
Cassie and Associates. We are what they call a mega team of Keller Williams Bluegrass.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So God just blew the doors wide open.
And talk about how you met this guy.
I'm going to let him talk about that one. Tell him how we met, babe.
We met over at Lowe's on Nicholasville Road, to be honest with you. So
that's a good, yeah. They tell me there's a lot of cute girls going
there.
Hey,
it's one of my favorite stores.
Yeah.
But we was in the light bulb section.
Yeah.
The light bulb went off.
So, but yeah, we're a combined family. I had the two younger boys. She's got the two older boys and we just clicked from day one. And
that's
that
great.
Was God. Like I needed her to find out where I was because I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't have no upbringing of, I knew what love, you know, meant and all that, but I didn't feel it. And so meeting her was really my gateway to that. I wasn't raised in religion, so it was kind of easy.
Yeah,
just to love, just start loving.
Yeah.
So, she's my rock.
Yeah,
no he's doubt. My rock.
So, yeah,
on this earth.
That's great. I mean, you know,
and the whole trip, like going out west and seeing all these broken people, and the way she does it, and then the way I do it. You know, we got different the ways we go about it, but at the same time, it both of them work.
Can I right. share this story?
Yeah, sure.
It's so funny.
You got about a minute.
Yeah. Oh, we got a minute. We're going to make it quick.
You want to save it?
No, go ahead.
So we were in Vegas and it was a really rough night. I'd went through a bunch of crosses. I mean, it was rejection after rejection after rejection. I literally went in this restaurant and cried because I went in the bathroom and just cried. It was the Strip of Las Vegas. I come back out. He grabs the bag from me and he says, now it's my turn. And Jason's way of doing it is right in their face. Do you know Jesus? And they're so scared of this big burly guy. They're like, yeah, I'd love to take a cross. Not one person tells him no.
There you go. Yeah. Sometimes it requires that. Direct approach.
It was awesome.
And I did. I don't know how much time we got real quick, but went right up to him. And I was just like, hey, Jesus loves you, and I love you too, brother. And I didn't care what they looked like, how big, how little, what color, what creed. I didn't care. It was just love.
Love's what it's all about. It's a great place to take a break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group. We're in the Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington. We will be back in just a few minutes. Sit tight.
Words matter.
We all saw it coming.
We are all responsible.
He told the crowd,
fight like hell.
Our cities burn.
And they said nothing.
The double standard has to stop.
We must work together
and tell the truth.
Keep it here.
All of us.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
Thursday night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app Thursday at 9 p.m.
You're getting back to business, but how do you know you're making the right decisions? Easy, with Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon helps businesses of all sizes learn more about their customers. Ask a question and Research Raccoon gives you U.S.-based data to help you decide. No defining audiences or waiting weeks. Think of it like a gut check for your big ideas. So talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use that's affordable for small businesses. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal services and technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, HR, billing, client intake, and more. So you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Periods of light snow will continue across the area on this Saturday. Temperatures in the low 30s, light accumulations likely through the weekend. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeart Radio station.
2021 is the perfect time to add a healthy new habit to your daily wellness routine, good nasal hygiene. We all know there's bad stuff in the air, allergens, bacteria, viruses, and that some of it's very dangerous. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, you can clean your nose with Navage. Your nose is the body's air filter, and with Navage, you help your body defend itself by flushing out the crud and germs. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the world's only nose cleaner with powered suction. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and it has over 40,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Join millions of Navage users to relieve congestion and allergies, breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Let 2021 be the year you start cleaning your nose with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life. Navage.
Need a good laugh? Then stop everything and check out the funniest new podcast of the year. I'm talking about This Is Important, the podcast featuring the comic geniuses from the hit TV show Workaholics. Hear Adam Devine, Anders Holm, Blake Anderson, and Kyle Nowicek probe today's most important topics, like cuisine.
Are you eating sushi off of people?
Yes.
You can't do that right now.
They're sanitized.
This is hard-hitting stuff. This is important. Listen to This Is Important on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the first hour. Joining us are Jason and Cassie Bennett. And I'm going to throw it on over to Tom.
So, Cassie, I got this messed up. You spell Cassie with a K, not a C.
I do.
And I had that wrong, but I've got it right now.
Did you spell it on the radio, Tom?
No, I didn't spell on the radio. K-A-S-S-I-E.
That's right.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about your real estate business because I think that what you have done in the short time you've been here is off the charts. And I know that there has to be a spiritual component to it because otherwise you just can't do that kind of thing. But I'm going to let you talk about it and just, you know.
Well, it is exactly what you just said, Tom. I start every conversation with I give him all the glory for my business. It is supernatural. It is not natural. I talk about it in my meetings with my agents. What we do cannot be done in the natural. But we are a faith-based team. We pray at every meeting. You will see me praying with the agents. You'll see me praying with clients. I would rather not take a client's property if they have a problem with knowing that I'm faith-based, that most likely I'm going to pray over their home, that the right buyer comes, that they're blessed in the sale, that the buyer's blessed in the sale. But that's God's opened doors for me I can't open, and he's shut doors for me that I can't shut. And that's what happens when you invite him to be your partner in every single part of your life.
You grew up in church, mm-hmm. and I would say you were kind of a nominal Christian.
That's right.
And you met the Lord, and something really got rearranged in you in a way that is that caused you to see God as being in every area in your life.
Everything.
Yeah.
And if I can't
and nobody gets to that without sometimes coming to complete despair at the total end of themselves, and
they hit bottom
and everything gets stripped away that they thought they were relying upon.
Yes.
And it gets replaced with God.
I remember being, when I moved here, and I you know, it was still hard. My relationship, I was starting to learn, but I was still in the flesh. If you looked at me, you would not know that Cassie's a whole different person, because I was still dealing with the fleshly things. But my spirit had changed. I had a Holy Spirit encounter. I had the fire that rose up inside of me. But sometimes on the outside is the last place you see it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a change on the inside for a while. But I mean, it was so hard, Tom. I remember sitting on the bathroom floor counting change to pay my kids lunch money at one point.
How old were you at this time?
In my 20s. Yeah. It was when I moved here. It was in my 20s. I'm 44 now. I don't mind sharing that. But so it was.
That ain't that long ago.
Yeah, no. No.
It was, you know, 20 years. I mean, that. I was in my 40s 20 years ago.
And I'm so blessed to say in 20 years, less than 20, we've went from, I didn't know anyone in the entire state of Kentucky, to being number one for the entire central Kentucky region. That's 122 counties. That's almost 4,000 agents. That's not Cassie doing that.
Yeah.
That's God showing, saying, he says he's no respecter of persons. If I do it for one, I can do for the other. But that's a supernatural move of God.
Right. How many people are on your team?
13.
Yeah.
13.
Are these all salespeople primarily?
Primarily salespeople, yeah. I do have one assistant.
I know they hustle, because I know they hung a thing on our door over off of Alumni.
We try to hustle, and that's the thing. You know, I don't just sit back and, you know, say, okay, God, I'm here, bless me. We believe in hustle. So there's a lot of accountability on our team. Before I came here, my 1 o'clock was doing phone calls, and I sat at the table with them, and I said, your phone's not ringing. And it's just boom, boom, boom. They have to knock on doors. When I started, my dad made me knock on 25 doors every single day.
Wow.
So I continue that with my team. Don't be on my team if you don't want to work.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hustle. We knock on doors. I try to sell my own listings. You know, if you're a seller and you're entrusting your property to me, guess what I'm going to push? I'm going to push your property.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you're trusting me, and that's our numbers are a lot of our own sales.
Right. So you, and you get the full amount of the commission on that too.
Yes.
You're not splitting
it's not
it
bad.
Yeah. No, you should. I mean, I think the hustle that real estate agents put in, they, you know, what you're doing, it's a balancing act. You're matching up buyer and seller. You're trying to make a deal happen.
That's right. People have no idea. And I always tell my agents, if you do it well, you should make it look seamless.
Right.
I mean, there's so many people over the years, I'm going to get my real estate license because it looks fun. And I just have to smile and think, well, but the statistics show that 90%, 85 somewhere. I mean, it's super, super high within the first 5 years of the people that get back out of the business.
Right.
It's not as easy and glamorous as it looks.
No sales thing is, I was a stockbroker for many years, and, you know, it just got harder and harder for young people and new people in the business to make it.
That's right.
I think, quite frankly, some of that was the work ethic. It's not as good as it was years ago. Some of it has to do with the fact that people are much more sensitive to being called, and you know, there's no call lists and things like that. And some of it was the fact that your older guys in the business had the majority of the assets, and it just got to where the best way for a young person to get in the business was to be go in as a junior partner to a big producer rather than try to build the book on his own.
I chose, when I came in, I was in my 20s, I didn't know one person in the entire state. I chose to do it on my own. I could have tried that, and I knew that was an option. But I truly, you know, we talked about it earlier. At that point, I was at Rector Hayden, and I remember Keith Rector. He used to say, you would be the first one there and the last one to leave. I would shut the lights off when I'd leave, and I'd turn the lights on when I came. I hustled. And I still believe that's a work ethic.
And you were selling roofs at the same time.
I did. Now, that was like 2007 or 8. If you guys remember that hailstorm that came through town, and that was the time that my kids were literally chained on the bathroom floor to pay lunch. So I seen all these roof signs, and I'm thinking, I can sell anything. So I called him, and I said, can I sell your roofs? And he said, do you know anything about roofs? I said, no, I know every house needs one.
Yeah.
And so
that's all you need to know.
Do you know I made $20,000 that year selling roofs, and
you're
I wasn't
kidding,
on the first roof?
Wow.
Yeah, and that was when the real estate market went down. I knew I had mortgage to pay and kids to take care of. So you hustle.
Go.
You do what you got to do.
All right. Let's talk about something that's dear to your heart. By the way, how do they contact your real estate? What's your all's website?
Cassie and Associates.
K-A-S-S-I-E.
And Associates.
And Associates.
And then our website is Cassie, K-A-S-S-I-E, sells, sells.com.
Okay. If you want somebody that'll just get out there and break their neck to sell your listing, this is it.
Thank you, Tom.
She's the person. Now, let's talk about... I want you to, we got about 12 minutes to do this. Mm-hmm. Talk about how it came to you all to have this farm up in Cynthiana and to provide a haven for animals.
So I'm a country girl, and we got married. We lived over off Tate's Creek for years. And I said, okay, honey, he's from Lexington. And I said, we've done it your way. Now we got to get to the country. And he was all about it. And so when we went there, literally the first year, did you not? He's like, why didn't we do this way before now? I'm like, I know. And you couldn't take him away with wild horses. He loves the farm. But we bought the farm because I grew up on a huge farm, cattle farm in Southern Ohio. And that's just what I'm used to. And I wanted a farm. But I knew when God gave us this farm that it was going to be used for his glory, because I want everything I touch to be used for his glory. So I was, you know, I think I shared this story with you. I'll try to make it quick, but one, I have a big, big tree. It's the biggest tree on the farm, in the very back of the farm. And I was driving back to, that's where I like to go pray and just sit. And my family knows if my truck's home and I'm back at my tree. So I was driving back on the four wheeler through a couple fields, and the Lord told me, get down and pray. And I'm having this conversation with him. I said, that's a great idea. When I get back to my tree, I'll get down on my knees and pray, Lord. And he said, no, now. So I'm thinking, well, you're a little confused. I'm in the cattle field, but I'll do what you want me to.
Yeah, you might kneel down in a cow pie.
So I did. And as I went to get off the four-wheeler and put my hand down, it was on an old rusty piece of barbed wire. And I knew that's just how God talks to me. Sometimes it's in puzzles. He'll show me something, and then it'll be months, weeks, days, and I'll get the other piece of it, and it all kind of comes together just like a puzzle. So I got that, and I knew at that point, you're showing me something, but I didn't get anything else for months. I put that piece of barbed wire in an old Bible that we have in our living room. Months went by. I went by one day, and it was broken in two pieces. And we have four kids. And, you know, I said, oh, my goodness, one of those boys broke that. And I kept on walking. And I heard the Lord say, go back and look at it. So I ran back. I'm like, what is it, Lord? And he said, that is what this farm will be used for. And I was confused. I'm like, I don't understand. He said, to set the captives free. So we do that two part. We rescue animals. And I don't care what kind of animal it is. We've rescued ducks. We've rescued chickens. We have lambs, goats, pigs, horses, you name it. If it has a heartbeat, then it needs love. That's how I look at anything. If God made it and designed it and he's not ready to call it home, then my job on this earth is to love it. So we bring it in. And God gave me my special husband who just goes along with whatever. He's like, we're traveling the country. Okay. We're taking animals in. Okay. So that's the one part.
Go with the flow. Yeah. Can't go wrong. Why not?
He's amazing. But so that's the one part. And we can talk about that right now. We currently have 63 rescues. But then the other part is we do women's retreats.
Oh.
And man, I've seen people get set free out there.
That's great.
So we do them in the summertime. They are all free. They're you can donations. We take donations, obviously. But we'll have up to 100 women at one retreat. We have live music. We have a 10-foot cross. We have a ceremony. The ceremony, there is not a dry eye in the place. I have seen so many people set free during those women's retreats. It's been amazing.
Do you lead them?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the one part, and anybody's welcome. And usually when one person comes to one, they never not come to another one, and they bring people. That's how they grow. It's all kind of been word of mouth. I haven't really done much marketing at all. During COVID, we stopped. We didn't do it this year because I opened my personal home. We have food. We have everything out of our personal home. So it's amazing. It's an all-day retreat. So that's the one part. But then the other part, and we can talk about that today, is the rescue.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We have 18 horses we've gotten off slaughter trucks. We have lambs. We have ponies.
Tell the story about the little lamb.
Do you want me to tell the lamb story?
Please.
So God talks to me, you know, as I've shared, and with these animals, he'll lead me to the animals. And I'm not kidding. He literally tells me, pull into this farm. And it's been time after time after time that I'll find out they have a slaughter lot or there's something going on. Well, I'm driving home one night and I was in a hurry and the Lord told me to pull into this industrial building. And I'm like, Lord, I'm in a hurry, but I get convicted. So I go. And I went to knock on the door. I didn't even know why I was there. And it was locked. Nobody was there. And I'm like, okay, Lord, did what you told me to do. Went to put my hand on the door handle. And I heard, bah. And I look over. And there's like on over, there's a slat, a livestock trailer with slats. So me being me, loving my animals, I kind of went over. And there was two really big lambs on there. But then there was this little baby lamb that had, it was in bad shape. It had organs hanging out of its body.
Oh.
And yeah, it was bad. And so I kept going back and I kept just waiting on someone to be there. There was someone there. I asked him. I ended up buying the lamb from him. Took it to the vet.
Yeah, he was kind of a jerk about it, sounds like.
Well, they thought I was crazy. We'll just say it that. It was like, is she crazy? Yeah. When he asked the boss on the phone and he was on speaker, he didn't know it. He's like, is she crazy? Because I wanted this lamb that was really in bad, bad shape. But I'd already called my vet, took it straight to the vet. They did surgery. They're wonderful. Took it home. And this is where the story gets good. The next morning, I'm going out. It's about 6 a.m. I have my cup of coffee and a little folding chair to go get in the stall with my little new lamb. And I love to talk to my animals. And I'm just talking to it the way I do. And I'm like, I'm going to love you.
This is after it had been to the vet and been sewed up.
Yep. And just talking to it. And it's just staring at me, scared, of course. Well, after a couple minutes, I decided to get up and try to pet it. Well, when I did that, it started ramming its head into the corner of the stall, trying to get away from me. And so I came back and I sat down. I said, it's okay. It's okay. And instantly the Lord started talking to me. And he said, that's what it's like with so many of my people. And I said, Lord, I do not understand this. And he said, Cassie, sometimes I have to sit back and let them come to me in fear of them hurting themselves from trying to run so far away from me. And tears just started rolling down my face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God, that's beautiful. And he said, Cassie, what did that lamb do to make you want to save it? And I thought it was a trick question. I'm like, Lord. And he said, it was on its road to death. I mean, it was headed to the slaughterhouse. It was on the road to death and destruction. It was in horrible shape. It had nothing to offer. What made you want to save it? And I said, Lord, I don't know. And he said, it was your love for it, not that it was worthy. And that's what my mercy is. It's never about that person. It's always about who Jesus is. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And that was just amazing to me. He used that little lamb. So of course that lamb's name is Mercy. And so we got little Mercy and we have all kinds of animals and God's just done amazing things on the farm. We have 10 dogs. They all get along. You know, with animals, when you throw another dog into a pack, we literally open the door and it's just like, oh, we have another animal. We literally have Noah's Ark out there.
Yeah. It's interesting about the lamb because of course, the Bible refers to people, Christians, as sheep, But he also refers to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was eviscerated, so to speak. He was not lovely to look upon because God put all the sin of the world on top of him. And so there's a lot of things in that. I mean, that I hope you keep that lamb.
My goodness, that none of my animals. So that's my promise I make to every animal. When it comes to the farm, it never leaves.
Yeah.
If they've been on my farm, then that means they've probably been shift around to multiple people and not feeling love. Or so once they come to my farm,
got all these animal groups. You got dogs, pigs, horses, lambs, chickens, ducks, and they all pretty much get along.
They all get along. Truly. In one stall, their best friends.
That's miraculous.
It's supernatural.
Yeah.
We'll have the cats lay with the chickens. We have the.
You know that scripture that says, "And the lambs lie down with the lion."
I'm telling you, on our farm, we have one stall, and they are best friends. We have a pony, two goats, the lamb, and a pig, and they never leave each other's side. They run out together. They stay together. They are best friends. And at night, they just walk in. They literally just stay out and roam all day, and then they walk themselves into their stall at night.
That's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
All right, if you are a 501c3,
yes.
If somebody wanted to help.
Oh my goodness, we need it.
Let's talk about this.
So my accountant's basically saying, Cassie, you're crazy because, it's just on my heart to take these animals in, but we have never had help until now. So we're doing the traveling out of our pocket. We're doing the ministry out of our pocket, the women's retreats, and then we're doing this. So I truly believe that we're put on this earth to be a blessing. If you're blessed, you're blessed to be a blessing. So, but we've hit a point where we really can't take any more animals until we start getting a little bit of help, because feeding that many animals and the vet care and just, the worming and all that, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So we have now got 501c3. We just got it, 2 months ago? Yeah. So it's Royal Ranch Ministries. They can go to our Facebook page, which is Royal Ranch Ministries, and learn about us, or they can contact me on there. They can contact me, real estate. I'm available wherever.
That's great.
And I'll post that on the website too, under the blog and radio.
Thank you.
Especially going into winter as well. It's just, grass isn't growing, it's dormant.
No.
So it just.
It does take a whole lot more feed right now.
Yeah.
You got any questions?
Well, the way that this whole relationship started is. It sounds like it's the same way that Cassie rolls and Jason roll. It's just, it's God's hand.
Fair. And it's amazing.
We are so blessed and fortunate to now call you friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even more or equally as fortunate that you had the time in your busy. I don't know how you get everything done in a day other than, God's supernatural hand in everything. What you pack in a day and in your life is truly inspiring. Yeah.
Thank you for
it
saying
really,
that.
Really, really
sometimes
is.
I think, am I doing enough? And then I'm like, wait a second.
How could you do even more? I have no idea how you could do another,
well, I appreciate you saying
a
that.
Single, another thing, which brings us to the close of the hour. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Powered by Dupree Financial Group, Jason and Cassie Bennett. You can find more of our podcast on our website, DupreeFinancial.com. If you want to hear this show again, there's a lot of good information. Go to our website. We'll be back in the next hour with news from the financial world with Team Dupree. Stay tuned.
All the stories that matter to your story.
The Biden administration
continuing to get the vaccine out.
Impeachment.
Banning free speech.
Heard every day.
Find out the real story.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.